Millennium Challenge, in other words, was not just a battle between two armies. It was a battle between two perfectly opposed military philosophies. Blue Team had their databases and matrices and methodologies for systematically understanding the intentions and capabilities of the enemy. Red Team was commanded by a man who looked at a long-haired, unkempt, seat-of-the-pants commodities trader yelling and pushing and making 1,000 instant decisions an hour and saw in him a soulmate. On the opening day of the war game, Blue Team poured tens of thousands of troops into the Persian Gulf. They parked an aircraft carrier battle group just offshore of Red Team's home country. There, with the full weight of its military power in evidence, Blue Team issued an 8-point ultimatum to Van Riper, the 8th point being the demand to surrender. They acted with utter confidence because their operational net assessment matrices told them where Red Team's vulnerabilities were, what Red Team's next move was likely to be, and what Red Team's range of options was. But Paul Van Riper did not behave as the computers predicted. Blue Team knocked out his microwave towers and cut his fiber optics lines on the assumption that Red Team would now have to use satellite communications and cell phones, and they could monitor his communications. They said that Red Team would be surprised by that, Van Riper remembers. Surprised? Any moderately informed person would know enough not to count on those technologies. That's a Blue Team mindset. Who would use cell phones and satellites after what happened to Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan? We communicated with couriers on motorcycles and messages hidden inside prayers. They said, how did you get your airplanes off the airfield without the normal chatter between pilots and the tower? I said, does anyone remember World War II? We'll use lighting systems. Suddenly, the enemy that Blue Team thought could be read like an open book was a bit more mysterious. What was Red Team doing? Van Riper was supposed to be cowed and overwhelmed in the face of a larger foe, but he was too much of a gunslinger for that. On the second day of the war, he put a fleet of small boats in the Persian Gulf to track the ships of the invading Blue Team Navy. Then, without warning, he bombarded them in an hour-long assault with a fusillade of cruise missiles. When Red Team's surprise attack was over, 16 American ships lay at the bottom of the Persian Gulf. Had Millennium Challenge been a real war instead of just an exercise, 20,000 American servicemen and women would have been killed before their own army had even fired a shot. As the Red Force commander, I'm sitting there and I realize that Blue Team had said that they were going to adopt a strategy of preemption, Van Riper says. So I struck first. We'd done all the calculations on how many cruise missiles their ships could handle, so we simply launched more than that, from many different directions, from offshore and onshore, from air, from sea. We probably got half of their ships. We picked the ones we wanted, the aircraft carrier, the biggest cruisers. There were 6 amphibious ships, we knocked out 5 of them. In the weeks and months that followed, there were numerous explanations from the analysts at JFCOM about exactly what happened that day in July. Some would say that it was an artifact of the particular way war games are run. Others would say that in real life, the ships would never have been as vulnerable as they were in the game. But none of the explanations changed the fact that Blue Team suffered a catastrophic failure. The Rogue Commander did what Rogue Commanders do. He fought back. Yet somehow this fact caught Blue Team by surprise. In a way, it was a lot like the kind of failure suffered by the Getty when it came to evaluating the Kuros. They had conducted a thoroughly rational and rigorous analysis that covered every conceivable contingency. Yet that analysis somehow missed a truth that should have been picked up instinctively. In that moment in the Gulf, Red Team's powers of rapid cognition were intact, and Blue Team's were not. How did that happen?